This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, the Supreme Court wrapped up its current session today with its three final rulings. We'll look at the court's decisions on EPA regulations, redistricting, and lethal injections.
First, the governor's recent budget proposals included the striking of tenure protections for UW professors from state law. While the UW System Board of Regents has pledged to draft similar protections into university policy, our guest isn't convinced they'll be strong enough to protect professors who have dissident voices, like conservatives.
John Sharpless joins us now in studio. He's a history professor at UW-Madison and former Republican congressional candidate. He and fellow professor Donald Downs wrote about tenure for Politico.com. John, welcome to Central Time.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, what was your first take when you first heard the governor's proposed changes to the UW system tenure policy, possibly striking it from state law?
Actually, I didn't know what to do with it. We're the only public university that has tenure recognized in law. And symbolically, that's very important to us. It's part of a tradition in the Wisconsin system. It's nestled into the right of free speech on campus, the right academic freedom. We have that wonderful plaque at the top of the hill, which quotes the sifting and winnowing and the famous Ely case. So it's more tradition. I think the very fact that they have repealed it showed that there was nothing particularly strong about it being in law.
Well, academic freedom and speech are two issues on the table that you're looking at closely. And do you think that these changes will hurt, have the potential to hurt, academic freedom at Wisconsin's public universities?
I'm not sure. The regents have pledged to maintain the policy that was in the statute. They've already voted for that. I trust them that they will, as this current group will, protect freedom of speech and academic freedom on campus. I don't know what happens beyond this group of regents, however. But there's something that I think may be more important here. It may be less a matter of individuals being at risk. They may be. I don't know. I think whole departments and campuses and programs could easily be at risk. What's gone on here is we've essentially given university administrators an enormous power, because not only have they no longer bound by tenure requirements, the legislature also did away with joint governance. That combination means that the people in the administrations of the various campuses can, without consultation, close down departments, programs, and indeed they could close down whole campuses.
Now, are you worried in particular that this is something that leaves conservatives in particular vulnerable?
Well, we argued that in the article. We were trying to remind the legislature that there are a few of us on campus. I think they tend to view campuses as bastions of liberalism. And indeed, I'd say the predominant point of view on campus is to the liberal side. But every campus has its share of conservatives. And perhaps it'd be important to point out is that liberalism is defined in a variety of ways, too. It's possible on a campus to get in trouble as a liberal, as was shown at Northwestern, where a feminist scholar was called to task by some students who were troubled by an opinion piece that she wrote for the Chronicles of Higher Education. And she was put through a hearing, which was just appalling. She wasn't allowed a lawyer. She wasn't allowed to know what the charges were. Fortunately, she came through it, but it was a very harrowing experience. In that case, it was a dissident liberal who found themselves at risk.
Now, you said that's what we argued in the piece. Mm-hmm. You didn't say that's what I think right now. Have you changed your thinking since you wrote the piece?
I haven't changed. We mentioned the problem of blanket denial of tenure in the piece, if you'll remember. We talk about programs being closed down. The more I think about it, I think that's a more likely outcome of this. I like to think that my opinions are particularly pointed and people really don't want to hear them, and I'm going to get picked on at a moment's notice. I think a lot of us in academia like to think that's true. But it would be hard to believe that the regents would close down the history department just to get at me. they may decide to close down history departments across the campuses because they decide that we cannot show definitively that it leads to higher employment in the state of Wisconsin. Remember, much of this comes out of some rhetoric that wants to see our campuses much more finely tuned to the marketplace. So programs that can't document direct employment outcomes may be at risk under the new system.
Well, as a conservative, you tend to be in favor of moves that support fiscal conservatism. Do you see this, striking tenure possibly from state statute, as a move that would, in fact, save money for Wisconsin?
It could. It could well do that. And there's a side of me, I'm sort of divided on this. I do think universities have had a public universities have had a problem in the recent past. They have not shown themselves to be fiscally responsible. Tuition continues to rise. Student indebtedness is appalling in this country. And it might be that universities need to be challenged on their budgets. Now, whether or not that means that blanket layoffs are justified, I remain unconvinced of that. I would see the problem now is that bureaucrats could decide that without any input from students and faculty and alumni. They would just completely gut the university if they decided that a program was not meeting market needs.
Right, and there has been a lot of cultural debate about what universities are for, whether they're for jobs and helping people enter the marketplace with an advantage, or whether they're sort of something maybe a little more lofty, the search for truth, the sifting and winnowing kind of thing. How do you answer that question? What are universities for?
I've done a lot of thinking about this recently, and I think the current debate is a very good one to think through what universities are about. We've got a very good two-year college system in this state. It's one of the best in the country. Their charge is to directly respond to the marketplace. They turn out welders, they turn out plumbers, they turn out people in the health sciences, technicians. That's their job. They do it well. It's not clear to me that the University of Wisconsin is the best place to have that kind of job-oriented education available. I'm a pretty good barnyard welder. I can weld up a project so it doesn't fall apart. But I'd never want to teach my history students how to weld. I'm there as a history professor. And I do think there's something about a university education, which is about growing up intellectually. Now, we could reject that. You could say those 4 years are really about job placement. It's about fitting some students into the marketplace. But I think it's good to have history. I think it's good to have literature. It is good to have political science, teach physics, for poets, so that people understand science in an intuitive way, not necessarily as an engineer would, but in a way that they can read the newspaper or go on the web and understand scientific discussions.
We're talking right now with UW history professor John Sharpless, talking about proposed changes to tenure at the UW system. And going back to tenure specifically, we were talking a bit about academic freedom. You were concerned about whole departments, whole programs, maybe the doors open to them being eliminated, which is something you're thinking about, you're a little concerned about right now. So if we look at academic freedom, do you think that tenure is synonymous with academic freedom? Do you need tenure to have it?
Yes. I think the history of the organization that we've had at this campus, Don and I and others have had consistently cases over the decades in which somebody has spoken out in a way that challenges the norms on campus. And they've been subject to harassment. They've been subject to the threat of a hearing without cause. It happens just often enough for me to be concerned. And I think in the current environment across the country, it's becoming increasingly difficult for people to say anything about anything. We're in a sensitivity moment. You never know in a classroom if there's somebody who's going to be troubled by an offhand remark, a silly joke that may not be funny, but at least you want the person to understand it's a joke, and they don't even understand it's a joke. And all of a sudden, you've offended the student, and they have leverage, and they'll find a constituency among the faculty, And that's what tenure is all about. It's a set of procedures that protect people. By the way, it doesn't insulate you from being fired for incompetence or unprofessional behavior. I mean, that does happen all the time, all across America. It isn't an insulation from good behavior and professional conduct.
And tenure in general has come under fire from some Republicans who conceptualize it as a job for life, saying that nobody really deserves a job for life, especially in today's dicey economy. What is your take on the institution of tenure from that perspective?
I don't think we deserve a job for life. I think we need... We're called.
Is that even a fair way to frame it? Do you agree with that way of framing a job for life?
I don't think anybody deserves a job for life. You've got to show up every day. You've got to do the work. You've got to be in an... You've got to be able to deliver professionally in terms of your education. Absolutely. one of the recent cases, which is just humorous, a professor who at Michigan State who was a little on the senile side took all his clothes off during lecture, and they pressured him to resign. Early retirement is, I think, what it was about. I think that there is an argument to be made that professors are called upon time and again to challenge the frontiers of knowledge, and that may offend people. People in the English department writing fiction that challenges people's ideas, people in the ethnic studies program that force us to think about race and ethnicity in new ways, people in women's studies who ask us to think about gender in new ways and challenge us, people in the biological sciences that may say things that are troubling to various religious constituencies in this state, but they should be able to argue for scientific knowledge based on their professional criteria. We are called upon to make those statements. You need to protect us from people who are offended.
So given that, how do you feel about this proposal to take tenure language out of state statute? It's still a little bit up in the air about what sort of policy will eventually find its way into university policy to replace it. So given that there's a question mark, how do you feel about just striking it from state law?
I'm troubled by it. But mostly symbolically. Overall, I think in the next decade, we're not going to see a substantial change in tenure. What I'm worried about is damaging the brand. The University of Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin system is one of the best in the world. Coca-Cola wouldn't damage the brand like this legislature has. It's damaged the brand fundamentally. When our young people graduate from this university, they've got to be able to go up against students that are from Minnesota and Illinois and Northwestern for jobs and for entrance into law schools. And what has happened over the last 6 months is the nation of scholars and people who will hire them on the job are suspicious about our system. That's what's gone on here. That's what's most important. The brand has been damaged. I don't even know if it can be repaired now.
We're talking to John Sharpless, history professor at UW-Madison and a former Republican congressional candidate.
And we'd like to know what you think. Do you worry that tenure changes proposed in the state budget could leave conservatives on college campuses at risk? Do you think calling tenure a job for life is a fair take on what tenure is? Or do you see it as being about academic freedom? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about our guest case that getting rid of tenure protections in Wisconsin law could leave conservative voices at risk, and he says damage the brand, the Wisconsin University brand. Talking with John Sharpless now. He's a history professor at UW-Madison and a former Republican congressional candidate.
And we want to know what you think. Do you worry that tenure changes proposed in the state budget could leave conservatives and others on college campuses at risk? What do you think about the governor's proposed changes to tenure? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. Jim is joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I agree with what the guest is saying. My comment is that you know, tenure isn't meant, you know, where professors will have a job for life. It is to protect academic freedom. And I'm concerned, well, first thing, I think the Republicans like to use the saying that, you know, tenure is just to protect them for life and a job. It was the same thing they did with the state workers in general when they said they are the haves and the rest of you are the have-nots. It's just a way to whip the general public into a frenzy. But also, like I've seen with the Department of Natural Resources, where now they got rid of scientists and they got rid of educators because they, quote, no longer serve the purpose of the agency, I can see that happening with professors down the road at the university systems.
Jim, thank you for your call. And John, what do you think about those points?
Well, I want to thank Jim for his call. I think there is this concern about public service and viewing agencies and universities and governmental staff as strictly service workers that are meeting particular political needs of the state. I share Jim's concern about the DNR, but I'm not going to go on that topic now. As a hunter and fisherman, I'm a bit concerned about the staff reductions at the DNR, but I assume that the legislature has already considered those matters. On campus, I think this goes back to your earlier question. What are university campuses about? Are they environments where students can come in contact with a whole variety of ideas, some of which will trouble them? They'll be forced to mature, think through challenging ideas, think through challenging texts they have to read, being forced, and I don't mean that in a malicious way, but being a demand being placed on them to examine new ways of thinking. That's what a college educator, that's what I love myself. I love going, I was an undergrad at Minnesota and I was a grad student at Michigan, and I've taught most of my life on this campus. I love big universities because of all the variety of courses. I used to just sit there with a course catalog at the beginning of every semester and I was excited by all kinds of things. I was an economics major, I was a history major, I took courses in comparative lit, I took courses in anthropology, I took courses in the class. I took courses in cinema. It was just this opportunity to know all. I loved it. And when I get those students in my class, they're exciting to have in that room. Now, we could turn it into a technical college and say to those students, sorry, if you're interested in cinema, you'll have to go someplace else. You can't have it at the University of Wisconsin because we're all about jobs. If I may make this personal, my son was a philosophy and art major at the UW. You would think he'd be unemployed now if the governor was right. He's a successful movie scriptwriter in Hollywood, and he's very proud of his Wisconsin education. It's possible, and I might point out that the recently retired baseball commissioner was a history major out of our department. Clearly, you can have a degree in history or philosophy or art, and you can accomplish things in our society that make a fundamental difference to American life.
I want to ask you, given about the diversity of thought and classes and coursework that you just talked about there, I want to read a quote from your piece. You write that, "It's no wonder conservatives in our state legislatures, rightly or wrongly, think our universities, not just Wisconsin, are liberal insane asylums under the control of the inmates." Is that fair?
Is that a great line? I just love that. We went back and forth on that line, and we stuck with it.
Do you stand by it?
We stuck with that line, and I'm stuck with it now. I think what we were saying, we're not arguing that's true. We are arguing that many people in our legislature and elsewhere across the country believe that's true. They believe that on college campuses there's trivial research that wastes valuable dollars, that there's courses being taught that serve no purpose, that liberals dominate the rhetoric and won't allow conservatives to speak up. That's what they believe is the case. And to some extent, universities have done that. It's exaggerated, but you can find examples of each one of those things with sufficient frequency that it confirms the bias of legislators who are on the conservative side of the aisle.
We have another call here. Mike joins us from Franklin. Mike, hi.
I'd like to thank the professor. I personally am a blue-collar worker who has had three children graduate from Madison. But the way I look at this, tenure is a reward for doing a good job. What we want to do is keep the best people here. We don't want them going other places. We want research dollars coming back to Madison, and we want to attract the best people in our state. This for us to do anything else does not make any sense at all to me.
All right. Thank you, Mike. And is Mike, do you agree with Mike has what he has to say, or is it more important to do more job focus?
One of my serious concerns is similar to Mike's. If the word gets out that people's job is not protected here and they may be at risk, we're going to lose very good people. We're going to have trouble recruiting fine people. That's what I'm talking about, damaging the brand. We have already lost a few people who are quite famous. In one case, a chemist went to Minnesota or is going to go to Minnesota. The Center for Discovery is losing its director. This could be a major problem for this campus in recruitment and retainment of famous, important scholars and researchers and teachers.
And as we wrap up, John, on the other hand, you point out that universities haven't always done the best job keeping their own house in order. You've got runaway student debts. You've got runaway tuition. How do universities need to respond to that?
Well, here's the fascinating thing about this is that in the face of that, the legislature has essentially empowered the bureaucracy that caused most of those problems. When the legislature was upset because there was the fund that was held back and they discovered it later, remember that slush fund? The faculty didn't have the slush fund. We had nothing to do with that decision. It was the people in the administration. And what they're doing right now is enhancing the power of university bureaucrats over faculty and students.
John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
That was John Sharpless, history professor at UW-Madison and former Republican congressional candidate.